we just finished going through different averus that are possible for a person to be misled or to misunderstand or to miss the subtlety of the different halachic. And Mesilas Yesharim was mechadish. The last time we learned Mesilas Yesharim, which was before Yantif, Mesilas Yesharim was mechadish that just like a person needs nikiyas, a person has to be completely, completely clean and completely. Sensitive to all the pratim of mitzvahs and averus, a person also has to be completely sensitive to all the nuances of midas, of different attributes and different attitudes that people have in their life. And he suggested that it's possible, and Sefer Shalom suggested it's possible that it's even more difficult for a person to rectify and to straighten out midas that are not 100% than to follow the Shulchan Aruch exactly. I mean, that's what we discussed last time, exactly why that's true. Okay. V'hine, hamidos hein rabos. There are many midas. Ki kefi kol ha-pa'ulas sh'shayachim la'adam ba'ilam, kemoike midos hein. Just like there are many different actions and many different types of things that a person can be involved in, many pa'ulas, many different types of activities that a person can be involved in, so too the midas are the feelings and the attributes of a person that propel him to do certain actions. So just like there's many, many different types of actions that a person does, there's also many different types of midas that motivate those actions. And that after those midas, he's drawn to do certain actions. So now what he's going to do is like this. He's going to go through very, very quickly three midas. And then he's going to start over just to set up what those three main midas are. And then he's going to start over and go through each one more carefully. Just like when we spoke about the mitzvahs, we chose the mitzvahs that there was more of a need to talk about them. That the Ramchal chose those mitzvahs or those pitfalls that are more likely and more common that a person would trip up on. So too we're going to speak about the main problems, the main internal problems that a person would have with more arichas and more iyun, because of how common they are. What are those three main ones? Behem hagaiva, not three, he says it's four. Four, two of them are really come together, we'll see. But it's four. Behem hagaiva, someone who's conceited, someone who's a baal gaiva. Hakas is anger. Hakina is jealousy. Behataiva is desire. Hein kol eile midas rois. All of these are bad midas. Asher ra'asam nikeres u'mefursemes. That the evil of these midas is recognizable and well known. Ein tzarach l'rayas. I don't have to bring proof to why these things are bad. Ki hine heina rois ba'atzman, because they are inherently bad. The rois b'toldasem, and they cause bad toldas. They cause bad things to happen. Ki kulan, this is a very, very important line. These next few words are very, very important. Ki kulan chutz mishuras ha-seicha va-chochma. They're all outside of the boundaries of logic and wisdom. This is a very, very important thing when learning Musar. People have a tremendous misconception about Musar. And they think that there's the regular way that people are. And people who learn Musar, they work hard to try to elevate themselves to even higher forms of serving Hashem. And that's what they think Musar is. Musar is to be malhev the lave, to ignite us, to fan the flames of our excitement and our anticipation in serving Hashem. So we have the average person, and we learn Musar to make it even stronger and better. It's not Musar. As a matter of fact, the association that many people have with Musar as being something that a person gets very emotional about, that a good Baal Musar is someone who knows how to scream very loud, or knows how to evoke emotion, those are good side things in Musar. Sometimes they work very well, but that's also not the main point of Musar. Musar is one very, very, very clear thing. Musar is to show how logically, how in reality, the bad midas don't make sense. It doesn't logically make sense. If a person is thinking of going on a trip or going into a business, and someone can show him what you're doing, it just doesn't make sense. Someone would decide that he's gonna start a company now to create manual typewriters. He's gonna start a manual typewriter company. He always liked, since he's a kid, he liked manual typewriters. He's gonna start a company now for manual typewriters. So someone will sit him down and say, listen, in a very short while, we're not gonna need keyboards anymore. A lot of people are already talking to their computers. Manual typewriters, those are a thing of the past. Maybe a few museums will buy it. No one's buying a manual typewriter. It does not make sense. Just it's simple logic. It does not make sense. That's Mussar. Mussar is gaiva does not make sense. Not that it's bad, it's wrong, Hashem doesn't like it. All of that is true. But there's a level even before that. It doesn't make sense. Let's take gaiva, for example, because we're going to go into that with more iyun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives one person this amount of intelligence and another person more intelligence. It doesn't make sense for the one with more intelligence to feel like he's better than the one with less intelligence. Both of them got their intelligence from Hashem. It just doesn't make sense. You have some people that, it's true about all Bali Gaiva, I'm just choosing the ones that we could see clearly that don't make sense. And then as we get involved in the Sugya B'Iyun, we'll see how all Gaiva doesn't make sense. But let's say you have two people, they grow up together, they went to school together, they went to college together, they got married the same time, and then one of them, and they're working hard together, they're trying to make ends meet, and then one day one of them gets an inheritance, $5 million. The inheritance, a great uncle he never knew existed, you know, everyone's dream, and $5 million, he gets $5 million deposited into his bank account. Pays his taxes, he has $3 million left. That's it, he's a millionaire now. He starts investing in different things and buying real estate, and after a while he walks in, you know, to meet his friend. He like 10 heads taller than his friend. He's a millionaire. He grew up with him, he went to school with him, he got married the same time, their wives were friends, their kids played together, they went into business together, and his uncle died. That's what he did better than the other guys, that he had an uncle that died. And still, go out in the world, and you'll see that inevitably, the guy with the inheritance, he didn't do anything. Zero. He didn't do anything. Somehow, just feels so put together, so proud of himself. He feels like he demands so much respect because he had an uncle that died. It sounds funny, it doesn't make sense. But it makes a lot of sense to that person. It makes a lot of sense. Because the Midas Reis trap a person into a distorted perception of reality. Mussar is not saying, this is what the world is like, be better, be higher. That's not Mussar. Mussar is saying, be real. Be realistic. Be realistic. Your uncle died. That's it. You're not any better than the other guy. Your uncle died. That's Mussar. This is clear. Sometimes it gets complex and it's not so clear. Also, it's very clear for all of us right now, but when it happens to the guy, when the guy whose uncle dies, to him it's not so clear. It takes a lot of work, and Avodas Hashem, for a person to realize it. So these words are such key words in the Mesilas Yesharim. Ki kulan chutz mishuras ha-seichel va-chachma. They're all outside of the realm of seichel va-chachma. They don't make sense. Midas Rois don't make sense. Alakina va-hataiva. On jealousy and taiva, shanino behedya, hakina v'hataiva v'hakovay, jealousy, desire, and honor, moitzien esadam in oilam, they take a person out of the world, they destroy a person. Like this guy who's never spending his whole life making a living and never living. Moitzien esadam in oilam. Omnam ha'iyun ha'mitztarech bam, the iyun that's necessary, lihimoleit mehem, umikol anfeyem. To be able to escape from these midas and from all their branches, from all their parts, ki kulam ke'echad surei hagefen nachria. They're all the same. They're all the same in that they're all like a strange growth of a vine. Like a person's midas, let's say, is like a beautiful cluster of grapes, and then they're sticking out a strange, like a leg sticking out of the vine. Surei hagefen nachria, strange bitter grapes growing off the vine. it comes from a pasuk in Yirmi, I think. V'naschil ledarbe b'am rishon, and we'll begin to talk about them one by one. This is incredible, the Mesillas Yesharim, where he talks about Gaiva, just the reading of the Mesillas Yesharim, just the reading, we don't have to say any pshat, just the reading, the next page, describes Bala Gaiva in a very, very entertaining way. I'm always very entertained when I read it. Very entertaining way, especially since many pictures start coming into your head of things that you've experienced as soon as you start reading the Mesillas Yesharim. And I was just came up today, I was just telling someone today, that Gaiva particularly is a very, very pathetic mida. Everyone has to work on Gaiva, but it's a very pathetic mida in that Gaiva, someone who's about Gaiva, nobody's fooled. Nobody is fooled. Nobody, let's see, the friends and family of a Baal Gaiva, nobody doesn't realize that this guy is just a Baal Gaiva. So let's see, someone will give a great cheer, or someone will make an invention, or make it big in business, or do something else, start walking around like a Baal Gaiva. Every single person that meets him, that comes in contact with him, realizes that this thing, this guy just got to his head, except for the person. It's not like other midas that like at least we can keep under wraps. Gaiva is a mida that Pashut Fa will own embarrassment. We have to try to eradicate. The only person who doesn't chap when we're about Gaiva is us. We're the only ones that don't chap. Our friends know it. Our family knows it. Everyone knows it. When you have someone walks in and you see how he expects certain treatment and he talks a certain way, and everyone's looking at him, he doesn't chap a thing. That's if you've been out there, you know that that's the way it is. He's the only one that doesn't get it. Nobody wants to be that only one that doesn't get it. Nobody wants to be that one. It's the other important hakdama about Gaiva, and then maybe we'll read for a few minutes. A person has to be very careful how he shoots down Gaiva. Because unfortunately, we live in a generation, we live in a very low self-esteem generation. We live in a generation where people don't like themselves. Deep inside sometimes they themselves don't realize, but deep inside many people don't like themselves. They're disappointed in themselves, they're disappointed in their lack of realization of their dreams, what they expected of themselves, or how they wanted their life to work out. Some people would criticize so much when they were younger, or not appreciated so much when they were younger, that they should haven't developed what's necessary for a person to feel good about themselves. So a lot of times to compensate, Gaiva is like a compensation for it. In other words, a person who grew up as a kid with the right amount of hugs and the right amount of compliments, and he was basically successful in what he did, and so when he grows up a healthy kid, so when he learns that really everything he has is just a matana from Hashem, he's healthy enough to be able to be mekabel that. I have nothing. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a wonderful life. Even though I'm deserving of nothing, Hashem gave me that balance. It's possible to strike that balance in a healthy person. But someone who's negative on themselves, someone who's a black hole, there are people who are black holes, they're so negative on themselves that if they try to just shoot down Gaiva by saying, you're nothing, you're terrible, who do you think you are? So they're basically causing the churban of a person, basically killing a person. Because that's what's keeping this person alive, is this Gaiva. As fake as it is, that's what's keeping the person alive. It's necessary to make a chesed on ourselves and on others. When we work on our own Gaiva also, Rav Volva looks at you, writes, if you look in the second Chelek Alei Shur, Rav Volva writes that Gaiva is not the first mida that B'nai Torah should work on. He says Gaiva is important. He says a bacher opens up a gemara and he learns a sugya and he's mechamet to Tosfos, he says kasha, and he's mechamet to Rukiveger, and he says, a gevaldig, me and Rukiveger. That's good. That's good. Sometimes we need that little bit of Gaiva. It helps us through the day. It helps keep a smile on our face. It helps us feel good about ourselves. That's a good thing. You have to be careful. Gaiva is a dangerous thing. You have to be careful before you shoot it down. The real way to work on Gaiva is to work like we're talking now, not mitzad shooting down and not mitzad emotion, is to work from the ground up, not just to shoot down the Gaiva, but to work from the ground up, to work on how lucky every Yid is to be a Yid, how lucky every human being is to be created, and how Hashem takes care of every single person, and how there's a purpose for every single person's life, no matter where, what, when he exists and what he's been through. There's a purpose and there's a tachlis to every single person's life. This doesn't sound like Gaiva talk. It sounds like I'm talking talking about something else. But this is the necessary hakdama. And how Hashem watches each person. Hashem loves every single yid, no matter what. There's not a yid in the world. It doesn't matter what he did, what his past is, what his future is. There's not a yid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love like an only son. With that type of a background, the person learns that many, many times, the silly guy that will just fall away. Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. So what if my uncle died and I have $5 million? Hashem loves me. I don't need that fake gaiva. Hashem loves me. You know Hashem? Hashem is not President Bush. Hashem is the Melech Malchei Melechim. And He loves me. And He loves me more than I could possibly understand what love means. And He cares about me. And there's a place for me. And you know that if I wouldn't exist, Mashiach couldn't come. Every single yid that's born is a necessary ingredient to bringing Mashiach. And if one person is not born, one yid is not born, and one yid doesn't live his life, Klal Yisrael doesn't have what it needs. If I wouldn't be here, Mashiach can't come. Basically, you all need me to bring Mashiach. And I need you, all of you, to bring Mashiach. That's the first step in getting rid of gaiva, is realizing how much gaiva and how much toiv is real, that we really have. That's the first step. Not just right away to be pushing down, I'm nothing, I'm terrible. That could be very, very, very dangerous. Because let's entertain ourselves for a few minutes. Hine, klal inyan agaiva huzeh. Sheha'odam, the klal of gaiva is like as follows. Sheha'odam machshev atzmai ba'atzmai. A person is machshev himself with himself. A person thinks he's very, very, very important, very special. Ubilvava yidama, and his heart he imagines, ki loy nava sehila, that he deserves praise. This gaiva could come from many different things that can make a person think that he's really special. Some people think they're very smart. Some people think they're very handsome. Some people think they're very mechubad, which is funny. I deserve kavod because I'm mechubad. Where'd that start? I deserve kavod because I'm an honorable person. Where's the beginning of that cycle? It's a funny thing. Yesh mishiyachshav atzmai gadol. Some people consider themselves a great person. Yesh mishiyachshav atzmai chacham, a wise person. Klalei shel davar, kol echad min advarim atayvim shabaylam. All the good things in the world. Im yachshav ha'adam sheyeshna boy. If a person would think that he has those good things, and he may have them. He may actually have them, but there's a sakana that he'll come to gaiva. Person knows that he's smart, knows that he's handsome. That's not gaiva. It's the next step that's gaiva. It's therefore, everyone better stand up when I walk into the room. That's where it's gaiva. Therefore, you better talk to me a certain way. That's where it becomes gaiva. He's immediately in the sakana. Lipo b'shachas zeshel gaiva, to fall into this destruction called gaiva. Once a person decides, and we'll get up to his descriptions in a minute, you'll see how entertaining it is. We'll go through the descriptions of different types of bala gaiva in another sentence or two. After a person decides that he's roy for praise and he's special, it won't just be one result. Different people react to thinking that they're tremendous in different ways. Many different outcomes will come out of it. Sometimes people will react in a way that's a stira. Monday they act this way, Tuesday they act exactly the opposite way. But it's all because they think that there's something special. We'll see in a minute what this means. They both come from one cause, and they're both for one purpose. Okay, so let's see. Let's see different types of bala gaiva. Let's see the descriptions. Hine. Yimatzei geya echad. You find one bala gaiva. Sheyachshei b'libo, that he'll think in his heart. Shekivan shehu roi l'sehila. Since he's befitting, he's roi for praise. V'hu miyuchad, and he's unique. V'roshem b'ma'alasoi, and he's obvious in how much better he is than everyone else. Kefi mafshavti, in his opinion. His humble opinion. Roy le gamkin sheis nahig b'derech miyuchad. He should act in a very unique way. The rushum, the koyvedam, in a very heavy, determined way. Bein belechtoi, in the way that he walks. Bein b'shivtoi, the way that he sits. Bein b'kumoi, the way he gets up. B'diburoi, in the way he speaks. U'b'chol ma'isav, in all his actions. Lo yelech elo benachas gadol. He'll walk very slowly. You won't find this guy jogging down the street. He'll walk very slowly. literally a kevoy bitzad godloy, his heel by his toe, you know, just, you know, not taking any big steps, but walk slowly. He's a mechubedeka person. He has to walk a certain way. Lo yeshev ela apraktan, he'll only sit, you know, with a chair with a back, you know, in a comfortable chair, you know, he only uses the armchair, you know, he won't sit on a bench with everyone else. So he comes into a shul and there's a bench in the back, he'd rather stand. He's not going to go sit on the bench with other people. They don't have a chair for him, he'd rather stand. He'll only get up very slowly, like a snake, like his head comes up and then the rest of him, he'll get up really slowly, heavy, the weight of the world on his shoulders, slowly. This guy's not going to jump up or get excited, you know. Well, you dabber in my coil. He doesn't talk to everyone. A new bachur comes to yeshiva. I don't have to go. Let this bachur introduce himself to me. I don't have to go over and introduce myself to him. No, ela im nich b'dei ha'am. He only talks to the chashuvim. He talks to the mechubadim. That's who he talks to. If he has to talk to someone who's not so mechubad in the yeshiva or business, whatever it is, he's looking to make sure nobody's watching, that he has to talk to this lowly person. When he gets called into the president of the company, then he makes a big deal and he announces, "What? The president wants me? What? Tell him I'll be there in a minute." And he makes a big deal about it. And then when he comes out, he says, I'm sorry. I had to talk to the president. You know, the Rosh Hashiva wanted me. I'm sorry. I'll try to be here in the future. You know, everyone says, what can I do? The Rosh Hashiva calls me all the time. What can I do? You know, my cell phone is ringing. Oh, it's the Rosh Hashiva again. You know, he only speaks to Nechubadei Ha'am. V'gam Be'neim, and even amongst Nechubadim, Lo Yedabre El Ma'amorim, I love this one, Lo Yedabre El Ma'amorim Ketzorim, he only talks short sentences. You know people like this. Only talks short sentences. Ma'amori ha'trofim, like mechashrim, I don't know exactly what the trofim means. You know, like what does it say? Right. Yeah. Like he has his sayings, where, you know, the people who, like, they'll say something cryptic and they'll be like, you know what I mean? That's the, you know what I'm saying? You know, that dorm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, even though he's only talking to the mechubadim, but even amongst the mechubadim, he's not going to actually explain what he means. Most of the time, I go, because he himself doesn't know what he means. That's not, don't tell him, but that's most of the time. He's hoping that you'll figure it out for him. And when you say to him, "I don't understand what you're saying, could you explain yourself?" It's like, if you don't understand, dot, you know? Yeah. The whole Shar Maisav and all his other actions, the Tnuaisav and his movements, the Pu'ulaisav and his actions, the Ma'acholoy and the Mishtav and his eating and drinking, this guy, for sure, is not eating in yeshiva. That's for sure. And if he is, he has his own menu. He's not stam eating what everybody else eats. Stam to sit down with his plate and put it on a table and eat what everybody else eats. No way. This guy, VIP, you know, he's going to come with his food or he's going to go to his people. You know, this guy's not eating with everyone else. Bilavushav in his clothing, or b'chol drachav in all his ways. Everyone's taking I remember when I first came into Beis Medrash, So it was the Siyam HaShas, Madison Square Garden, coming up in a few months. We had the Siyam HaShas. So the yeshiva got a bunch of buses. We didn't know better, you know. The yeshiva got a bunch of buses. We've been in the bus. I'm on the bus, and I look down, and I see this limo passing by. My friend is in the back seat of the limo, you know. I'm going to a chassid, we rent a bus. Now the bus is empty. Everyone has to get a ride, you know. It's not like COVID to be to sit on the bus with everyone else. What am I? Just I'm a yeshiva bachar over here. That's what you think. Yisnaig b'kvedus gadol, he acts with tremendous heaviness. Ki ilu kol b'saray oiferes, like his whole flesh is lead. B'chol atzamav evan oichol, and his bones are stones or sand. You know, he goes slowly. This guy's going to hear that someone became a chassan. He's not going to go over and wrap his hands around him and say, "Mazel." He's not going to do that. He'll be like, "Mazel tov." Yeah, "Mazel tov." You know, it's just, yeah, you know, you feel like you want to shake the guy. Hello. You know? That's one type of Al-Gaiva. Let's meet some other friends. You'll find another Balgaiva that he'll think. That because he's so roy for tehillah, he's so roy for praise, he's such a good guy, he has to shake the world. He has to instill fear in the world. People had better watch out when they're near him. Everyone should storm. Pliny is here. Pliny is back, you know. To make a tumult. You should notice. Take notice. Take heed. Amazing thing. It's not proper that people should like break barriers to come speak to him. You know, someone like me, a young bachur, comes to the yeshiva, he should just feel comfortable just to walk over and ask me if I could do something with him. Where did he even get the nerve to walk over to me? Let him at least send a shliach over to me. Stam directly, he came right over to me. It feels uncomfortable. Like, what are you asking me? You think I have the same needs as you have? You think I also sometimes have to go buy sacks? You know, I have my own special way that I take care of all these things. To ask him something. That if they'll have the chutzpah, yapilu is like the brazenness. You know, if they'll muster up the courage to come over to him, he'll disturb them. He'll lashon of bahala. He'll confuse them with his voice. Uberuach sefasav yehumein, and he'll disturb them with the wind of his lips. You know, go away from me. I'm busy now. You know, how are you getting home for Shabbos? It's taken care of. Talk to someone else. You know, beruach sefasav yevahalein. Teach him not to, you know, not to come directly, mamish, directly over to me. He speaks to him strongly, and he always looks angry. The guy always looks angry and serious. And Meir comes my favorite guy. And then there's another Balgaiva. He thinks to himself, he's such an amazing b'chubadik gadol. There's no covet that's enough for this guy. Like, covet is not even, doesn't even talk to me. Like, when you're mechabed me, it doesn't even affect me. It's like, there is no, which looks like tremendous anivas, but it's really, there is no covet. I remember hearing Rabbi Kalish say this once, Barabim, and I learned a lot from it. You know, I speak a lot at yeshiva, so it comes up for me a lot. Someone comes over afterwards, and just before, I spoke this morning, and I gave a shiur this morning. Yochanan came over to me, and he sat down, and he said it was very good, he liked it very much. So some people, and I might have had the urge to do that myself, had I not heard Rabbi Kalish so eloquently describe how silly it is, say, whatever. You know, like, you don't accept the compliments. Why don't you want to accept the compliments? You're beyond compliments? When people do that, it sounds like anivus. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was good. Okay, whatever. You're like, you don't want to accept the compliments. What you're really saying is, you have no business giving me a compliment. If it's good, I know it's good. And if you think it's good, it's irrelevant to me. That's really the message over here. Rabbi Kalish said it was my earth, and since he said it, Mach would always say, you know, to respond. He says, someone comes over to you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, he says, that was a great speech, or well, that was a good game. Well, thank you so much. And if you really, really have guts, say, it means a lot to me that you said that. It's really special to me that you said that. It gives me chizuk when you tell me something like that. That's what you should say. You're beyond chizuk. Someone comes over, you give a share, and someone comes over and tells you, that was really nice, thank you for that share. You're like, all right. Like, it's really irrelevant that you think it was nice. Like, really? No, everyone likes to hear that someone enjoyed their share. What are we, we're malachi asharis over here? Like, there's no cover that's enough for this guy. How does this guy show? How does this guy demonstrate this concept that there's no cover that's enough for him? This is what they say in Yiddish. This is the guy who's the Bavus the Tzaddik Nister. They say in Yiddish. The well-known Tzaddik Nister. The well-known hidden Tzaddik. Yasem Maisem Kemaisei Ha'anav. He acts like an Anav. He's not an Anav. He acts like an Anav. So he has a long white beard, but he makes sure to sit in the back. And he's enjoying the scene of everyone trying to get up to the front. No, 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 go sit in the front. And he's like, no, 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 I can sit in the back. That would be much bigger Anivas if he would just go to the front. You know, someone admits, you know, now I'm giving shiurim in the yeshiva. Mitzvah, you know, you guys will get older. You'll give shiurim, you'll give speeches. So you come to the door, someone will open the door for you. Tell me which is a bigger gaiva. To walk through the door and someone opens to say, thank you very much. Or to go, no, 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 you go first. And the guy says, no, you go first. And you're enjoying every minute of this. No, 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 you go first. And the guy says, no, I really want you to go first. Come on. Which is the bigger gaiva? Or just walk through the door and say, thank you very much. Which is the bigger gaiva? I once passed by a house with a Shlomo Zacher. I still remember, I was walking with my wife. She was upset at my cynicism, I have to tell you. But I am a Talmud of the Mesillas Yesharim here. I was walking through, and there were two guys there. Two young people coming on a winter night, you know, sauntering into the Shlomo Zacher after a meal. And obviously you could tell on them, they're like walking like their first Balgaiva, you know, walking the Kvedos Gadol, and they both walked it together to the door. That's all I saw. And as I kept walking, I told my wife, I know what's happening now, even though we passed by. I just have it. He's saying, go ahead, your Shabbos, go in. And he was saying, no, 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 Adarabba. And as he's saying Adarabba, he's thinking, I hope he says, no, I should go in. That's what he's thinking to himself. And he said, and the other one says, no, 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 Adarabba, you go in. And he's like, I hope he, you know, that's it. It's which is the bigger gaiva? The guy says, go ahead, go in. Go, oh, thank you. And go in. That's gaiva? Talking about when you're a really big Bali Madrega, who are makvid about these things. There are really big Bali Madrega. I, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I lived in my Rosh Hashiva's building, and my Rosh Hashiva learns Chavrusa with Rav Volba every week. And so I used to often see Rav Volba walking into the building. And once or twice I tried to open the door for him. And Rav Volba, you're talking about beyond. This is not playing these games anymore. He's already beyond what it's Tishvah, so we'll talk about that maybe another time. Rav Volba, as soon as you open the door for him, he stops walking, and he's staring somewhere into deep space, like as if he doesn't know that anything's going on, like he's senile. And he's just staring. And you could just sit there. As long as you sit there with the door open, he has something to think about. Until you just give up and walk away, and then he walks through the door. I saw this many times. But that's a different Madrega. V'yafriz al midosav, his mamish, he's so super giving, laharois shiflus gadol, to show his tremendous lowliness, v'anova adein cheker, and tremendous anova, v'liboy misnasei b'kirboy, lemer, the whole time, he's saying, no, 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 you know, he comes in, you know, a younger man, or something, comes into the house, so right away you get up, you say, oh, here, have a drink, whatever, he goes, no, 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 and the whole time he's like, I love this, you know, the whole time he's thinking, I'm so high and so mechavid. Shekvar ani tzarech lekavid. I don't even need kavid anymore. I'm so mechavid. I don't even need kavid. Ve'en liyelo levater olav. Oh, why do I need this kavid? I'll just be mevater of it. Shekvar ravu ethli. Like so many people are trying to be mechavid me. Like I don't have patience anymore. That type of. I'm bringing this out. The late sonnets of it, because this is mamash l'tzenus d'avay d'zara. This is what the Basil Shem, as we're sitting here, it's obvious. It's obvious. Who's the mevuzah over here? Who's the embarrassed one here? Who's the humiliated one? This one guy that he's the bald guy, but he doesn't realize that everyone's laughing. This guy, he does not realize that we just sat around the table laughing at him. He doesn't realize that. He's the mevuzah over here. It's important to realize it because very often and in very many situations, we're one of those people. In very many situations. And it's good that we should sit around now and we should laugh at it because we're laughing at ourselves. And we should laugh, we should realize how silly it is. And next time someone tries to be mechaber, we'll go home and David, you'll go back home, they haven't seen you in a while, you'll come into the shul, go, oh, David's here, maybe you should go to the Amid. You'll say, no! And you'll think to yourself, you know what? Fine, I'll go to the Amid. You know, whatever it is. That time, because you're going to go with a smile. You're going to smile to them, because you're going to be laughing at that Balgaiva, that potential possible Balgaiva. You're going to throw him right out the window. It's not even going to be a Yetzihara, because you already laughed at him. It's good to laugh with the Mesillas Yesharim, because you just made him not, you just cut his fangs off. You just make him not dangerous anymore. Nobody is going to get up like a nachash now. Nobody. That's it. We ended that. We can't do that now. We just laughed too hard. Okay, that's it.